I've taught this book in, you know, a one-week setting normally, but not over a three-week period. But we're going to take time on this book. Not every verse. I'm just want to try to really focus in on the love aspect of this book. And I think you'll understand. Let's go now to the Word this morning. We're going to be in the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Say that with me. Malachi. One more time. Malachi is the last book before Matthew. Amen? M&M. Old Testament, New Testament. Malachi comes before Matthew. Let's talk about it today. Let's see what we can learn. Here it is. We've had Valentine's Week, you know. You think about love. You see it. You see the cards. And so I thought, you know, I'd like to do something on love. And God's certainly been good to me and given me a lot of love in my life. And I've titled this new series, Love, Express It or Silence It. Would you say that with me? Love, Express It or... Now help me one more time. I need a little help because that's the kind of thing we do here. Come on, one more time. Love, express it or... Now you let that sink in. Love, express it or silence it. See what we can learn today from the Word. Here we go. And Roger has such pretty images for us. Thank you. He's like a big... Hush, man. He's going to cut it all off on me. Here we go, buddy. Let's move. Title of today's message. We're going to have three messages in this series. We're going to do No Fear in Love. Don't have the other ones written, but I got the title written down. No Fear in Love. No Quit in Love is next week. And the third one's going to be a humdinger. No Lie in Love. Get ready. Gloves is coming off. No Fear in Love. No Quit in Love. No Lie in Love. Let's learn today. This message today, say it with me, know what? One more time, know what? And some of you in this room, you know what it's like to be in a love relationship and to be very fearful, to be very, very fearful about maybe what you're thinking or maybe what you don't know what they're thinking or maybe what they're doing now. Do they still love? Do they still care? Do you still love? Do you still care? It can be a fearful thing. More people do harm to themselves because of love than any other thing. More people get hurt, more violent acts out of love, supposedly, than any other thing. It's crazy, isn't it? No fear in love. Let's talk about it. Exposing skepticism and doubt in relationships. That's our little subtitle, Exposing Skepticism and Doubt in Relationships. So I really want you to listen here, hang in here with me, and let's see what we can learn today from this book in Malachi. Here we go. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. The last one is the book of what? Malachi. Now, do you know that now? We got it down, say, Malachi. Let's go ahead and learn something else. There's four chapters. Four chapters, not that long, all right? You might be surprised if you start reading the Bible how like, well, look at that, I can do it. Yeah, you can. Amen. Four chapters in the book of Malachi. You can go read that in 30 minutes. Easy. Okay? So, the book of Malachi. Last one. Now, listen to me. Between the book of Malachi and the birth of Jesus Christ that we see in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, when you start out to get your New Testament, between the book of Malachi and the birth of Jesus is about how many years? About 400 years. 400 years of what? Say that with me. 400 years of... One more time. 400 years of... Can you imagine God talking to prophets and speaking to prophets and men of God are writing the Word of God and over time, but then there's this great period of silence. Between Malachi and Matthew is about 400 years. Of what? Remember that. The book of Malachi starts off in verse 1. And don't let me bore you to tears. I think if you'll listen, you're going to like it. Okay? Starts off very unusual. There's not many books in the Bible that start off like this. The burden. How many know a burden's heavy? Say. You don't start out like meeting somebody like that. Hi, my name's Burden. You know what I mean? How's your burden? You don't talk like that. Here's how he starts off this book. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by who? By Malachi. So the burden, what is he talking about? Why do you start off a book like that? We're going to learn a little bit about it. Now the name Malachi, say this with me, means my what? Now, this is why I started thinking about love. You'll see why. Malachi, his actual name, we don't know much about Malachi at all. We know his name means my messenger or my what? One more time, my what? Okay. My communicator or my messenger. In this four-chapter book, God is trying to do what? He's trying to communicate. He's trying to communicate. He's trying to communicate his what? His love for his children, Israel. Don't let that spook you. Don't let you think that doesn't matter now. Well, it's children of Israel, doesn't matter to me. It does matter to you. That's the Word of God. It's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharp. It cuts. It's for you today. Okay? So, this four-chapter book, God is trying to do something. He's trying to communicate. Matter of fact, the guy who's writing it, his name means messenger or communicator. God's trying to communicate His love for His children Israel. Communication. I think you'd agree with this. Communication. 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 Love. You've got to have communication and love. Don't you agree with that? Yes or no? You got to have communication and love. There needs to be communication and love. Listen, love, you express it or you what? In love, you what? You express it or you silence it. We can express it or we can silence love, guys. That's what I want you to think about as we've had Valentine's Day, as we're thinking about love, as we're thinking about the Word of God, as you're thinking about relationships. Don't just think about, you know, the marriage relationship, but friendships, relationships with your children, friends. This will work. Co-workers. In love, you can express it or you can what? Silence it. So the burden. So here we go back to this verse. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, Malachi's name means what? My messenger or my... Okay. So we're learning already a little something, aren't we? Communication is pretty important. God's trying to communicate to Israel His love. And in a love relationship, there needs to be what? Communication. So we're off and running. So what's this burden stuff? The burden of the word of the Lord. I mean, that's right out of the gate. Verse 1. I don't see verses like this that much in the Bible. The burden of the word of the Lord. What is that? Pop it up. The burden implies this. It implies probably what you think. The seriousness. The importance. The weight of what I'm about to tell you. The weight. The magnitude. The gravity. So he's saying right out of the gate, what I'm about to tell you is very, very important. God says, don't miss. Don't miss. In verse 1, the burden. Don't miss what I'm about to communicate to you in verse 2. Y'all listening? Have I put you to sleep? Yes or no? Come on, help me, church. Listen. So, that's the point. The burden, the weight, the gravity. And what does he say in verse 2? Can you say that little part with me? I have loved you, says the Lord. Love, you can express it or you can silence it. God really, really was trying to speak to them. He was trying to get their attention. He even started out with a bunch of exclamation marks. Burden, 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 don't miss what I'm about to say, please. Can you imagine God talking to people like that? He's really crying out to them. And He says, I have loved you, says the Lord. God wastes no time. He doesn't tuck this in the fourth chapter, the last verse. He wastes no time. Chapter 1, verse 2, He wastes no time in going right to the what? The heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. That's why I was telling the staff the other day, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to preach out of the book of Malachi. And they looked at me sort of funny. You know, and I said, I don't know. I see there's something in there. I don't know. I can't even tell you really what it is yet, but I sort of feel like I want to talk about love out of the book of Malachi. And I sort of felt that as I was reading the book of Malachi and thinking about the book of Malachi. So that's sort of where this thought comes from. And it really overwhelmed me. The burden of the word of the Lord. God has a huge burden that He's trying to unload here. And that is, that burden is, I love you. Did you hear me or not? I love you. I love you. I love you. People get the idea that God doesn't love them. Can you imagine how that must make God feel? When He does everything. Created you in His own image, in His own likeness, created you and me. Isn't that just truth? Yes or no? Gave us this incredible planet where you don't have to do a dime's worth of nothing to keep it running every day. You know what I'm saying? You don't have a thing to do with gravity or stars hitting your house. God did oxygen. Did you make any last week? No. You see what I'm saying? God does all that for you, and here we sin, and He sends His Son, and He dies on a cross so we can have life everlasting. But God doesn't love me. Can you imagine? Say. Love. Express it or silence it. God says, I love you to the children of Israel. And here's what He's really saying. He says, I have loved you, says the Lord. I have always loved you. That's great, isn't it? Say. Can you what would that do for your life right there if you just put that in your life that God says to you, I have always loved you. I have always loved you. Wow, that's got to help you out of some mess. Amen? Say, come on, God loves you. That's what He's saying to the children of Israel. I've always loved you. Look at some Scripture, just going back in the Old Testament. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord your God. This is the children of Israel. The Lord your God hath chosen you to be a special people unto Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest of the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. He's redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps what? Covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to how many generations? We get so jaded because people break promises to us. Or we break promises to others. So then we wonder, how can God keep a promise? God has no problem keeping a promise to 1,000 generations. Amen? Say. He loves you with an everlasting love, the Bible says. In Jeremiah 31:3, one of my favorite verses, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. Isn't that great Scripture? Isn't that great? Awesome. So God is trying to tell the children of Israel in the last book in the Old Testament, the last time, the last book, the last little message right there, He sends His best communicator, Malachi. But instead of hearing God express their love for them, they silence it. They silence it by questioning His what? Now, guys, I'm trying to let us teach the book of Malachi, but don't miss the reality of this topic today. Love, you can express it or you can what? And I know if we went through this room, you would probably, and I don't want to do it. There's probably even some secret hidden pain in this room because there's people in your life that loved you. And now you look back and you silenced it. And they're nowhere to be found anymore. Wow. Guys, let's learn. Can we learn, say? Can we learn from God and the children of Israel? Can we learn how to better have relationships? Can we learn how to maybe try to get it right? Say, yes or no? That's what we're spending time for. Not just come watch me. I want you to hear from God today. Amen? Come on. So, I've loved you, says the Lord. Look at verse. We ain't out of verse 2 yet. Yet you say, the children of Israel say back to God, say it with me, wherein have you loved us? Wherein have you loved us? In what way have you loved us? Guys, in my line of work, I hear people say that all the time. Oh yeah, not so much here at fellowship, sometimes here when you come see me for counseling, things like that. We focus on life. We focus on the stuff. We focus on how hard it is. And it makes us question God's love. Guys, you need to hear that God loves you or you're going to what? You're going to silence it. You need to hear that God loves you or you're going to what? Okay? It's going to happen. The seriousness, the importance, the weight, the magnitude, the gravity, the burden of what God just said, what did they do? They diminish it. And they scorn it. Where have you loved us, God? Can you imagine simple man telling God that? Yes or no? Say. But guys, we can learn something in relationships. You might have somebody in your life that's trying to communicate love to you. And you just assume it's always going to be there. It ain't. Did you hear me? Yes or no? You just assume that it's just always going to be there. They can communicate love to you and try to get the message of love to you in a marriage and or with children. And they can call you and try to have a relationship with your dad. They can try, but dad, after a while, you've got them in, man. And they're silent then. What happened? You never listened. Did you hear me? Yes or no? I know I'm loud. Because there's a lot of pain in our lives because of this. Are y'all hearing me today? This is what the Lord helped me see from this little book, the book of Malachi. I ain't out of verse 2 and the Lord's helping me. So here's the God of heaven saying, I have always loved you. And they say, where have you loved us? Why did they say that? Do you hear God's love or do you what? I met a fellow the other day on the church property. And I'm not going to get into it because I don't have time. But I had a good time with him. We're talking. And he starts asking me about my belief and my faith. And I didn't mind sharing my faith, but I didn't start out of the gate doing that with him. And so when he talked to me about, you know, my faith, I told him he just didn't believe, you know, he didn't believe that. And in his own way, made me feel like I was crazy, like I was uneducated, and he's a lot smarter than me. Because I believe in Jesus, and I shared with him that Jesus loves you. Well, I don't believe that, he said. And I kept trying. And you know, before long, not only had he shut God up, he had shut me up. Did you hear me? And I didn't come at him with any kind of crazy. It was just that God loved you. I kept focusing right there. God loved you. He gave His Son for you. That's the subject. It's a big subject. Keep focus with me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. We need to hear God say He loves us. Instead of getting in the Bible and arguing with it, well, you don't believe in creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You don't believe verse 1 of the Bible, do you? Yeah, I do. Because I don't want to silence God. When God says in His Word something, Gary Clark believes it. Did you hear me? Yes or no? I want to hear from God. Okay? Listen, faith comes by hearing. That's how I can hear that God loves me. I never knew God loved me, really. But from the Word of God, I've learned that God loves me. Y'all hear me or not? Look at verse 17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I know it's a little sad-like, but I want to put it in here. But to Israel, God says, all day long. All day long, all day long, I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. We question the love of God, and all God does all day long is stretch His hand out to us. Did you hear me? Give His Son on the cross to die for us now. Raise Him from the dead. Seat Him at the right hand of God the Father. He's sitting dead ready to make intercession as soon as you come to Him by faith. All day long, He sticks His hand out to us. Expressing His love. We need to be careful that we don't silence it. Did you get the message so far? Keep looking. Now, title this message that we're in right now, No Fear in Love. No Fear in Love. Let's go a little further and let's see what we can find. No Fear in Love. So let's keep reading. Read verse 2 now, all of it. I'll read it with you there. I've loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, where have you loved us? Now, it's going to get a little technical, but we're going to figure it out. Wherein have you loved us? And God says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. I loved Israel. And I hated Esau. That word hated means I preferred Jacob over Esau. And I laid Esau's mountains and his heritage waste for the dragon of the wilderness. Don't get confused. I'm going to come back here. Don't forget Esau and the Edomites. Whereas Edom says, we're impoverished, but we'll return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them, the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Keep looking, and your eyes shall see it. And you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. What in the world was all that talking about? I'm going to get to it. It's not that complicated. Most people silence love because of their past. Most people silence love because of their past. I knew when I married Kim, I would have a struggle because I was married 28 years to Joy. And I loved Joy with everything I knew how to love. But I can't. It was a place where, without getting into it, I couldn't do anything about it. It hurt me. And I knew because of my years of counseling for Gary Clark to get into another relationship, I don't even know if I can do that. How will I do it? I knew it would be struggling. I knew I would struggle because of the past. How many agree with that? And that's just normal thinking, ain't it? But you know what? It's good to know that. Because a lot of people can't get to their future because they're living in the past. They can't get past the past. And so that's been something mindful to me in my marriage to Kim for about a year and a half. I've been mindful. It's hard to believe that time's passed, ain't it? Isn't that crazy? But I've been mindful because here's a woman communicating love to me. And she's are you here, Kim, in the building? You're up there. Oh, my gosh. Hide. I thought you said you were leaving. Here is a woman communicating, listen, love to me, trying to express it. And if I'm not careful because of my past, I can silence it. Did you hear me or not? And so this isn't that complicated, what they're saying. See, God went right to what that was holding them back. It was what happened with Esau. It's really what happened with the Edomites. The Edomites were a people that were against the children of Israel, and they really hurt them, and they held God responsible for it. They blamed God for it. They blamed God for the breakdown. And God spoke right to their situation. So they questioned God because of what happened in the what? Past. I hope I didn't lose you with that little sideline. Past hurt, past struggles. They did not take God seriously because of their past what? Pain, their past hurt, their past struggles. Can we get a testimony right quick? How many of you have had some pretty bad mess in the past, but God helped you get past the past? Can I see your hand? Come on! Praise the Lord with me this morning. We need to do something. Make a little more noise than that. Come on! Listen. So, they were skeptical. Don't forget that word. They were skeptical when God says, I love you. I've always loved you. They were skeptical and they what? So they blamed God. Wonder how many relationships they had the chance to be awesome relationships. But because of one person's pain and past in the relationship, that relationship never got to where it could be because they couldn't get past their pain and past their past. You think there's probably a ton of those like on the planet. Wouldn't you agree? You know what I mean? Isn't it great that we can look at the Bible and see something, but we can maybe draw something I never saw before? That's beautiful. But I think I had to go through the pain to see the Scripture. I read this before. I never saw it like that. That's the beauty of pain. It'll also take you to places where you can hear God. You can silence Him by blaming Him, or He'll be talking to you about some new things. Amen? Hope you're listening. Hope I ain't put you to sleep. So they blamed God, and they would not, and they what? They could not hear what God was saying. I've loved you. I've always loved you. Hear me, exclamation point, the burden, the burden, the burden. I sent my best communicator to tell you. Didn't take him a split second to shut him up. You ain't loved us. They were what? They were bitter. They were bitter. They were bitter. And guys, mess happens in your life. It happens in my life. And we've got every right, if we want to be bitter. But the Bible tells us bitterness grows and defiles many. Is that what the Scripture says? Yeah, that's exactly what the Scripture says. It'll choke you and it'll choke others in your life, in your family, your relationships. And that's what was happening. So, I want to go back to Obadiah for just a minute, not long. I'm going to read this Scripture. This is about the Edomites leading Israel basically to the slaughter, and they never got over it. They never stopped blaming God for letting this happen to them. So I'm going to read the Scripture, and we're going to build the case on the right what it means. Here we go. In the day that I'm blaming you, God. I'm angry with you, God. You don't love me because you let this happen. Watch it as it grows. In the day that you stood on the other side. In the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem. Even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of your brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, you should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Look at that list. They were still holding God, blaming God because the Edomites, who were their enemies, sworn enemies, they blamed God that the Edomites would stood on the other side, that they looked at Israel, their brother, as he became a stranger and went into slavery, that they rejoiced at the destruction of Jerusalem, that they spoke proudly at the distress, they entered Israel's gates with the enemy, they looked on Israel when they were in affliction, they took Israel's stuff from them. When they're being taken captive, they're taking their stuff, and they stood in the way so that they couldn't even get water and live, and they delivered them into the hands of the captors, and so Israel cannot hear that God loves them. Did I lose you? That's really what the book of Obadiah is about. Little old book in the Old Testament. And so here is God, the last book in the Old Testament, the last time God's going to speak for 400 years in a written Scripture that we have. He says, I love you. I love you. But they're skeptical and they doubt His love. And they silence him. Did you learn anything so far? I have. No fear in love. Keep rolling, Roger. Let's see what else. We're not that far away from the end, are we? Thank you.
And so says all the people.
I thought I would teach this little book around Valentine's. So I read the book. And I took my pen, which is I do an old pad. I don't use the computer. I just write on an old piece of paper. That's what I do. 8.5 by 11s in a pad. And as I read the book, I was thinking of the breakdown of love. I never read that book with that thought before. And I wrote down about 6 different things that I saw happen. I didn't even know it. I was just writing. And then when I look at my notes, I looked at those 6 things in the order that I find in this book. And it's almost an exact breakdown of marriage relationships that I see as a counselor. And here it is in this little book. And over the next 3 weeks, I'd like to share those 6 things with you that cause marriage breakdown. Here's the funny thing. It's not going to shock you because it's reality. But we saw 2 of them today. The breakdown and silencing of love. We've seen 2 of them. The breakdown or silencing of love with God or with others. The breakdown begins with this. Number 1, skepticism. 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 And I wrote down every little, and this was not before I did my message. I'm just writing. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just telling you the way it happened. I wrote down skepticism. Then I wrote down, I don't know. If you want to silence love in your life, it can be the love of a husband, the love of a wife. It can be the love of your children. It can be the love of a friend. And start to be skeptical about your love for them. Did you hear me? You start to be skeptical about your love for them, and I'm going to tell you something, you've started the breakdown. Did you hear me? Israel was skeptical. Here's the God of heaven. Had God done incredible things for the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament? Can you say an amen? Yeah, are you kidding me? I mean, there's story after story after story after story after story after story. And they're remembering the one thing, aren't they? They're remembering the Edomites. Is that what they're remembering? And it didn't happen yesterday. It happened years and years and years earlier. They still got it in their, you know, they're just still all messed up about it. Okay? So, skepticism. Skepticism. I don't know. I don't know anymore. If I love that person. Skepticism. Are you listening? And guys, listen, it doesn't mean that you're not in love. Somebody doesn't love you like crazy. A person can love you like crazy. This is on you, man. Are you hearing me? Communication. Here's someone trying to communicate to you that they love you. But you can, in your own mind, be skeptical about your love for them. And the breakdown will start. I know some of you are looking like, this guy has gone crazy today. Except people who are counselors, she's right with me. So skepticism. So the breakdown begins with this. In this little book, we could say a lot of other things, but I'm talking about in this little book, skepticism. And then here's what else we saw today. Doubt. Doubt. See, skepticism is like doubt, but it's not as strong as doubt. I don't know that you love me. And it doesn't have to be that you love them. You can put in your mind skeptical, I don't know that they love me. Guys, when you start to put that kind of thing in your head, it's going to open up a door for you to do a whole lot of stuff. Did you hear me, yes or no? And this is the breakdown. And then the second thing is doubt. And I wrote down in my notes, I don't feel. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard this over the years. I don't feel anymore. This is the breakdown of love. Well, I just don't feel. Have you ever thought you should be responsible for the way you feel? Yes or no? Say. You ever thought about taking responsibility for your own feelings? Yes or no? Say. Is it always somebody else's job to make you feel something? Say. Listen, sometimes people are doing a great job at helping you feel something, but it's on you. You got a past situation. You got to blame. Or sometimes you just want out. And all of a sudden, you ain't feeling what you used to feel because you want to fly. Say, guys, this is real stuff we're talking about. Yeah, it's true. A lot of people would agree flat out in this room. So we saw the breakdown begin in this little book this morning. We saw two things pretty quick out of the gate. And we'll build on it next week. But skepticism and doubt are both results of what? Say that again. Skepticism and doubt are both results of... So we title the message today, No Fear in Love. See, when you say, I don't know, there is a fear element there. You're afraid. You're afraid that they don't love you. You're afraid that you don't love them. When you doubt, that's a fear thing. That ain't a faith thing. See, doubt. Doubt's the opposite of faith. Is that right? Yes or no? Sure it is. So when you doubt, you are fearing. And then it just breaks down further to your feelings, etc. So anyway, let's just sort of quit it right there. Got a couple more scriptures. What's the Bible say? The Bible says there is what? Would you say that loud? There is. One more time. There is. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. There needs not be fear in my relationship with Kim. There does not need to be fear in my relationship with Kim. When Kim says she loves me, I should be able to believe that. Did you hear me? But if I'm suspicious of that, or if I'm skeptical of that, oh, she doesn't mean it, see, because I've been hurt before. How many ever said that before? I know, I'm sorry to bring us into it, but how else can we preach if we don't talk a little bit? Okay? So the point is that also when she communicates love, now love's communicated more than just words. Your commitment, your actions, different things that you do. Well, I can be skeptical, but I could also doubt that. And when I doubt that she may really feel this or I feel this, I am breaking down love. You can't say being skeptical and doubtful builds up a relationship, can you say? Can we say I'm skeptical of you and I doubt you and I love you very much, good night? You can't say that. So we saw it with God and His people, but I want to try to see it in relationships with us. It doesn't have to be just a husband and wife. Guys, it can be with your kids. It can be with a friendship. There's no fear in love. Let me say this to you. I got to hush, but even with friendships, if you are at times skeptical about a friend or a situation with a friend, there should be no fear in that love relationship with that friend. What do I mean by that? You should be able to, and you have the ability to, and it should be all right to speak to them and even question that. Not condemn them at all. Say this is the way you're feeling. Put it on you, not them. Did you hear me or not? In a company, if you've got people that work for you, if people are inside your company and you love your company, and you love the people that work for you, but you think one over here or one over here might not be doing this or that or the other, or what? It's okay as a friend, as a company leader, to speak to them. Guys, there's no fear in what? Love, guys. Why hire private eye when you go ask them yourself? Say, communicate. That's what we're learning here. I know I've got a little goofy on you. There's no fear in love, but I love this. Perfect love cast out. Can you imagine the pain some of you have endured? How skeptical, how doubtful you are. All those things, and we're going to go down this ladder, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But can you imagine if that perfect love could cast out that fear that you might have been living with for years? God wants to do that for you. Isn't that crazy? And maybe we can help with the process here with just a little book study, okay? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Look at this line. Tell me if this ain't the truth. Because fear hath what? How about being skeptical and being doubtful? How painful is that? How fearful is that not knowing? Say, how fearful is that not knowing the person that you're in love with, if they love you or you really love them? Is that a fearful place to be? Say, sure, and perfect love. Listen, it doesn't have torment. I know I'm putting some of you to sleep. He that fears is not made perfect in love. He that what? Is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Are we done, Rod? You're killing me. Revelation 2:7. It's interesting. Jesus gave this verse to the church at Ephesus, and He says, I have one thing against you. Say it with me if you know it. You have left your first. And He says this to him at the end of chapter 2. He says, he that hath an ear, let him what? Communication is pretty important, isn't it? Communication is pretty important. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I'll give to eat of the tree of life. Flip it on, Rod. You're done. Appreciate it. Have ears that what? Could Israel hear God's word? Could they hear that He loved them? No. They could not hear because there was skepticism, there was doubt, there was past pain. They could not hear. You've got to have your ears open or you're going to have the breakdown happening. You can, in love, you can express it, or you can what? Silence it. Questioning love, diminishing love, and scorning love. Silence is love. Even good loving. it'll kill it. Amen? Let's thank the Lord for His Word this morning, even though it was sort of weird. Amen! Praise the Lord! Little strange!